Revelation chapter number 20 tonight. I want to go ahead and ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 1. Say amen if you found your place. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 1. Of course, this is John writing. He says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ, how long? 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege to read your word tonight. Lord, thank you for your house. Thank you for your people that have gathered here. Lord, I ask that you'd please give us hearts to learn your word tonight. Lord, help us to expound it, to clarify it. Give us an understanding, God, of this text. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for all that you've done. Lord, thank you that you are a God that answers our prayers. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to teach and preach tonight on the subject of the millennial reign of Christ. The millennial reign of Christ. We've made it so far 20 chapters into the book of Revelation. Can you believe it? I never would have thought whenever I started that I would actually get to the end. But here we are. God's helped us. And I've certainly enjoyed it. I've enjoyed learning it, really. I don't know how good I've done at teaching it, but learning it I've really enjoyed, and I pray it's been good. We've got one more chapter left after this, but we've come, if you remember last week, we've come to the great climax of the book of Revelation. Last week we talked about the great second coming of Jesus Christ, and really there are two great events that the Bible surrounds, and number one is the first coming of Christ, and number two is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's what this whole book has been about. From beginning to end, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we found that in chapter number 19. The door of heaven is opened, and we saw Christ return to earth. You remember last week in chapter number 19, we saw the great battle of Armageddon. Let's just recap just very briefly, not the book, but chronologically what we're looking at in the tribulation. You know that right now we are in what we call the church age, right? We live in the age of grace. Right now, God has hit the pause button for Israel. God is not dealing with Israel right now. He's dealing through the church. But there is coming a day, and it could be very soon, whenever God is going to rapture up the church we will be called up to meet him in the air. And that is going to end the church age. And by the way, and you know that there is absolutely nothing right now standing in between us and the rapture. Only the timing of God and when he wants to do it. There are still signs that will happen before the second coming in the tribulation. But there are no signs that need to take place before the rapture. So right now we're in the church age, but one day there's going to be the rapture up of the church. And then after that, there's going to be 7 years of great tribulation, right? In the 7 years of great tribulation, the church will be removed. The Holy Spirit will no longer work through the church. And the Antichrist is going to reign. The Antichrist will reign for 7 years. And this will be a time of great wrath and great judgment. There'll be wrath from Satan during this time upon earth, but there will also be wrath from God during this time. And you know that here in chapter 19, at the end of the 7 years, the tribulation is going to end whenever Christ comes again with his church. Before the tribulation, we'll meet him in the clouds. During the tribulation, we'll be in heaven. We'll be judged and rewarded for our works. We'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And when that is over, he will come again, and the battle of Armageddon will take place. Mankind will, upon the earth, the armies of the nations will gather up to make war against God. But all the armies of heaven will also gather up with Christ to make war to the earth. Christ will come again, and he will smite the nations with the rod of his mouth. At that very moment, the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will be cast alive into the lake of fire. They'll be the first ones to go into the eternal place of damnation. Hell is just a holding cell right now, but there's going to be a day when hell and all those in it will be cast into the lake of fire. So now in chapter number 20, we're reading what is going to happen after Christ comes again. We talk about Christ's coming, and that is great. But really the wonderful part is actually what happens after that Christ comes again. This is not the ending. This is just the beginning of a wonderful eternity. And tonight we're going to learn about a special time that's going to take place after Christ comes again, and that is called the millennial reign of Christ. We see this tonight. 6 times in this chapter, we read the words 1,000 years. 1,000 years. 6 times. So we'll explain this and back it up with Scripture, but for right now, you need to know that when Christ comes again, he's going to judge the nations, he's going to smite them. But then Christ is going to physically rule over the nations for 1,000 years. He is going to set up his kingdom upon earth. What is that prayer? And I've said it oftentimes. He taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right now his kingdom has not come, his will is not being done. But there is coming a day literally whenever his kingdom will come and his will be done upon earth as it is in heaven. God is not going to be done with this earth in eternity. There is a place that earth is going to have. Christ is going to reign literally and physically upon the earth. So I want to do my best tonight just to describe to you some things about the 1,000-year reign of Christ. To me, this is probably my favorite subject inside of the book of Revelation. I love to learn about it, and you might be surprised to know just how much that the Bible actually talks about the millennial reign of Christ. So I hope that you've got the blood flowing in your fingers tonight, because we're going to be turning to a lot of passages of Scripture. It may not even seem like a sermon, maybe seem just like a Bible study, but we're going to turn, and I just want to maybe give you a little taste of some things that will really increase your appetite to learn about this time. I just want to scrape the surface and show you a lot of these passages tonight. So as I've said, in the previous chapter, Christ has come again. In chapter number 20, Christ is now reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At this time, look with me in verse number 1. We see in verse number 1, we find that the first thing that's going to happen upon God setting up the millennial reign, The first order of business that Christ is going to have is to bind up Satan. That'll be the first thing that starts the millennial reign, is the binding of Satan. He said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. You know what I love is that Christ himself doesn't even mess with Satan. He just sends an angel to Satan with a chain, and that angel locks him away. Friend, the Satan's no match for Christ, much less one of the angels of Christ, more powerful than him. So Christ's first order of business is binding up Satan for 1,000 years. Can I say, first of all, how ironic that is, that Satan is going to be bound up in the bottomless pit. You know why that's ironic to me? It's because the first time that Christ came, Satan tried to bind up Christ inside the earth. It was Satan who tried to chain down Christ in death. It was Satan who tried to seal up the tomb with a great stone. But friend, Satan could not lock him away. Christ arose from the grave and the stone was rolled away. But in Christ's second coming, Christ is not going to be put in the earth, but Satan is going to be put in the bottomless pit, and he will be sealed up, but he will have no power to come forth. He will only be loosed briefly at the end of 1,000 years, only to then be cast into the lake of fire forever. So friend, we need to understand the first thing about the millennial reign is that Satan will be nowhere to be found during this time. Now that is enough to spend the whole night talking about the fact that Satan will be bound. You need to understand that God is doing this to Satan, not just as a punishment for Satan, but he will do it as a reprieve for the entire world. See, the binding up of Satan means that the world for 1,000 years will be freed from the influence of Satan. Who is called the king of this world today? The god of this world. That is called Satan. He's called the prince of the power of the air. Friend, there is coming a day when he's going to be bound up, and he's not going to be the god of this world. He's going to be the prisoner of this world. He's not going to be the prince of the power of the air. He's going to be a prisoner of the bottomless pit. This world will be freed from his influence. Now, it seems to me that the text is implying that not only will Satan be bound up, but I believe that all of the demonic powers of Satan will also be bound up during this time. During the tribulation, the Holy Spirit is going to let go, and he's not going to work with his influence. But friend, then the Holy Spirit's going to come back, and then Satan is going to be bound up with his influence. So it's almost a flip-flop of what has just taken place. So when Christ comes, he will bind Satan. And with the binding of Satan, the golden age of the earth is going to be ushered in for 1,000 years. Not only will the earth be emptied of the influence of Satan, but the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, just as the prophet said it would be. I hope you're taking notes tonight. I want you to write down these references as I give them to you. I want you to write down Habakkuk chapter number 2 and verse number 4. There's coming a day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Also write down Isaiah chapter number 11 and verse number 9. There is coming a day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. That's going to take place in the millennium. Let me say this before we move any further. Some of you may not really know what we're talking about when we say the millennial reign. Simply what we're talking about, the word millennium means 1,000. That's all that means. And the reign, of course, refers to the reign of Christ. So when I say the millennial reign, we're speaking of the 1,000-year reign of Christ when he rules the nations. And let me say this briefly before we move forward. I want you to understand tonight that God's not going to rule for 1,000 years and then his kingdom's going to end, because the kingdom of God's not going to end then, but that is simply the amount of time he's going to rule before the great white throne judgment and before he makes a new heaven and a new earth. His kingdom's not going to stop after 1,000 years, but the 1,000 years will conclude this age of the earth, and then the new earth will be made. Christ is just going to keep on reigning forever and ever. His kingdom will never be torn down. It will be established forever. But 1,000 years he will reign before the new heaven and the new earth. So I want you to look at some things that are going to be a part of the millennial reign of Christ. We know that, of course, one of the biggest things is that Satan will be bound, and also that Christ will reign literally. I want to share with you tonight some references, and we're going to go back through the Bible and look at these things. But you'll be surprised to know that Revelation talks about the millennial reign, but it's actually referenced a whole lot more inside the Old Testament. John tells us how long it's going to be, but everything else you want to know about the millennium is going to be found in the Old Testament prophets, all right? So let's look. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah in chapter number 9 and verse number 6. Isaiah in chapter number 9. Now I want you to think about this. Why would the Old Testament talk more about the millennium than the New Testament? Why would the Old Testament talk about the 1,000-year reign of Christ more than the New Testament does? Well, it would only make sense because during the Old Testament times, the Jews were looking for the Messiah, right? When the Messiah came the first time, they did not realize that he was the Messiah. Why? Because they were looking for a Messiah that was going to come and smite all of their enemies, and he was going to rule over them, and he was going to have a kingdom that would be established and not demolished. They were right. They were looking for the Messiah, but they didn't understand that he would come first as a Savior. So they were looking for the reign of the Messiah. That's why they talk about it. Look in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We're all very familiar with this. We read it at Christmas, the first coming of Christ, but it actually has to do also with the second coming. He said, "For unto us, the Jews, a child is born." Who is that child? Christ. "Unto us a son is given, and the what? The government shall be upon his shoulder." Did that happen in his first coming? No. That's going to happen in his second coming. It says that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There's another reference. Then look in verse 7. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So the Old Testament was looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the kingdom that was coming with the Messiah. And they were right to do that, but they missed him at his first coming. He came to save. Friend, during the tribulation, the Jews are finally going to wake up. During the tribulation, they're going to realize that they were fooled and that Christ is the Messiah. During the tribulation, they're going to be saved. They're going to turn to Christ. And upon the second coming of Christ, he's going to save them. Now, Christ is not coming the second time to save the church. We're not in the tribulation. We're behind him. We're already saved. His goal in the second coming is dealing with Israel again. The millennium has probably more to do with Israel than it even does the church, the second coming. We're with Christ. We've already been rewarded, but Israel's going to be saved when Christ comes again. So no wonder that it has to do with Israel. Friend, during the tribulation, the final Holocaust of the Jews is going to take place. God will preserve his remnant, and then in the millennium, they will not only survive anymore, they will thrive, and they will rule with him. I want you to look with me in Isaiah chapter number 24. In verse number 23, it is during the millennial reign that God's covenant with David will finally be fulfilled, because the root of David and the offspring of David will reign upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. Jerusalem during the millennial reign is going to be the world capital. Look in Isaiah 24 verse 23. He said, then, he's speaking of the day of the Lord, then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. This refers to him reigning in Jerusalem. I want you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. The fulfillment of these promises are going to take place during the millennial reign. Chapter 28, verse number 13. He said, in Deuteronomy 28, verse 13, he said, the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. God made Israel a promise a long time ago that if they would obey God and serve him and keep his commandments, they would not be the bottom of the food chain. They would be the top of the food chain. They wouldn't be the tail of the nations. They would be the head of the nations. Now, I don't know if you've realized this, but mainly through the years, Israel has disobeyed God and rebelled against God. But there's coming a day when they accept the Messiah that they're going to be found in obedience unto him. They're going to keep his commandments, and then they're going to be made the head of the nations and not the tail. So the millennial reign is a time when Satan's going to be bound. It's going to be a time when Christ reigns physically on the earth, but it's going to be a time when Israel is saved and when Israel becomes the head of the nations and Jerusalem becomes the capital of the world. In this day, in the millennial reign, it says that all the nations of the earth are going to flow unto Jerusalem. Many will go up to Israel, to the mountain of the Lord, to learn the ways of God and walk in his paths. I want you to turn with me now back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 2. Look in verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 1, he said, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. He said, and it shall come to pass in what? The last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge the nations, judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, notice this, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Here we find that during this time, Satan will be bound, Christ is going to reign, Israel's going to be saved. Israel's not only going to be saved, but exalted, and Christ is going to reign, but all of the nations of the earth are going to come to Jerusalem to learn about Christ and to walk in his ways and pay tribute and honor unto God. Can you imagine a world today where in Jerusalem, Christ, the Son of God, is going to physically reign in a physical kingdom, and the nations of the earth will know, will be ruled by him, but they will come to him. Could you imagine saying, it's this time of the year, let's pack up, and let's go see the King. Let's go see Christ physically upon the earth. Let's go to Zion to learn about the ways of God. Could you imagine a day when the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of God and of Christ? I want you to look with me in the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah. I know that some of these are harder books to find in the Old Testament. You'll find the book of Zechariah right after Haggai. It's the second to last book in the Old Testament. So find Matthew and turn back a few pages. Zechariah has a lot to say about the millennial reign. Zechariah chapter 8, look in verse 22. In this chapter, he is rejoicing in Israel's future. He said in Zechariah 8, 22, he said, "Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts," listen to this, "in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." There is coming a day when the Jew and Israel is going to be so exalted, Christ will be with them, that 10 men, if a Jew walks down the street, 10 men will cling to him and say, "Hey, you're a Jew. God is with you. Take us with you to learn about Christ. We want to know. Tell us about him." This is going to be a day of great glory. Turn over to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14, we read about this concerning the second coming. In the last chapter, he has more to say because after the second coming is the millennium. Look in verse 1. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh." That's the second coming. "Thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity." Now look in verse 3. This refers to the second coming. "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south." And he goes on to talk about the second coming of Christ. Then look in verse number 6. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea, in summer and in winter shall it be." Notice verse 9. "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up." And you can go on down through the chapter and read some things about the coming of Christ and the millennial reign. Look there in verse 17, verse number 16 actually. "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, everyone that is left shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles." There is coming a day when the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of God. There's coming a day whenever Christ is going to reign, when the nations are going to be obedient unto him, and many will follow him out of love, but Christ is going to reign with a rod of iron. And if anybody does not come up to pay tribute, God will literally send plagues and pestilence and drought unto them as a physical and a literal punishment. You say, that's kind of harsh. Friend, I don't see that as harsh. That is what God does in his righteousness today. That is actually a relief to me to see this take place. You say, why is that? Friend, we are living in today whenever Satan is thriving, Satan is ruling. Friend, there is wickedness in high places. There is persecution of righteousness. There's all these things. Friend, you need to understand that during the millennial reign, there's still going to be sin because men are still going to be sinners then, just as they are today. The great difference between now and the millennial reign is the saints that are persecuted now, they're not going to be persecuted then because Christ is going to be there physically reigning. They're not going to be persecuted. They're going to be in power. Friend, and those that are wicked, that are in power today, those that make us sick by hearing about the corruptness in our governments, in our nations, the wickedness going on in high places, that is no longer going to be in high places anymore. God, when he comes again, is going to make that low. Friend, sin will still take place, although then it will be punished swiftly and surely. In other words, during the millennial reign, bad guys aren't going to get away with bad things. That may not mean much to you, but that's an incredible thing, to live in the world where wicked don't get away with doing wickedness anymore. The pedophiles and rapists and murderers and terrorists that we have in our day that sit and they're unconvicted by the law. They buy out judges. They buy out governments. They find refuge. In that day, there will be no refuge for them. There's going to be no buyouts. There's going to be no corrupt judges. Friend, Christ is going to reign with a strong hand in that day. There's not going to be any of that foolishness. Friend, there's going to be not wickedness in high places, there's going to be righteousness in high places. Mark this down, we won't read it. Micah chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Another reference to the millennial reign. In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established. His people will be exalted. Many nations shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. And he shall judge among many people, and they'll not learn war anymore. The millennial reign is going to be a time where Satan's going to be bound. Christ is going to reign physically. Israel's going to be saved. Israel's going to be exalted. The millennial reign's also going to be a time where there's no war. He said they'll take their swords and beat them into plowshares. Their spears will become pruning hooks. There's going to be a day when there is no atomic bombs. There is no radioactive chemical warfare. There is no plants being built to make these weapons of mass destruction. There's going to be a day when there is no such thing as a gun. There is no spear. There is no sword. There's no need of any of those things. A friend, one man said that guns, they'll become lawn tools, and tanks will become tractors. There will be no need for any bit of war in that day. Because when the Prince of Peace comes, there's going to be true peace that will last for 1,000 years. That's where we get that song today. I'm going to lay down my sword and shield down at the riverside. I'm not going to study war anymore. That's a reference to the millennial reign of Christ. It's going to be a day with no war. Not only no war, there's going to be no politics. Because Christ will reign. There's going to be no false religion in that day. Christ will tear down all the idols. There will be no Islam. There will be no Buddhism. There will be no wickedness of that nature. No idols. There'll be none of this. Only one God. In that day, there'll be no poverty. It says that every man will dwell under his own tree, his own land, his own property. There'll be no prisons, no hospitals, no mental institutions, no saloons, no gambling dens, bars, clubs. There won't be any of that. Can you imagine a world like that today? Without all the wickedness strutting down Main Street. As I've said, there'll still be sin, but sin will be not often and displayed out like it is today. There won't be Satan to tempt. and to influence. Man is still a sinner without Satan, but without that tempting there and with the presence of Christ, it will be a much different world. It'll be a world where roles will be reversed. You can write this one down and we won't read it. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 21. He will punish the high ones on high. The lofty will be brought low. There's other references. But in this day, there's going to be no idols. There's going to be no war. Let me tell you some other interesting things about the millennial reign. There's not only going to be some extreme spiritual changes, there's going to be some extreme political changes in that day, but there's going to be some extreme physical changes in that day. Did you know during the millennial reign, human life is going to be prolonged? Did you know we'll live longer than we do today, men in that time? I want you to look with me in the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. Isaiah 65. I told you we'd be turning a lot. You can't hold it against me. Isaiah 65. You're not going to get carpal tunnel. Isaiah 65, verse number 20. What does he say? There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are, the days of my people and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. There's coming a day when a man dies at 100 years old, he's going to be considered a child still. Death is not going to be banished during this time, but death is going to be very rare. The curse that is inflicted upon the world today, will be lifted in the millennium. There is a curse upon the ground that's going to be lifted. There's going to be an increase of the ground. And there's a restraint put upon man right now that's going to be lifted then. Before the days of the flood, man lived that long. 963 years was Methuselah, I believe it was. But when the flood came, God took a restraint and put it upon man, 120 years. Sort of like anybody ever drive, you as a kid, you drove an old go-kart. You know the things they call governors on those go-karts? If you was a bad kid, you found the governor, and you took it off so your engine would wind up as fast as it would go. But if you had a dad and mom that cared about your life and well-being, they take that governor and they turn it way down. Friend, right now, God has a governor on the life of mankind. 120 is the top speed we can go today. Friend, that's all we need. I mean, if we did any more, there's no telling what wickedness could come up in the life of a man with a wicked imagination for hundreds of years. But there's coming a day when that governor is going to be turned loose and man is going to live a lot longer then. Notice what he says, though. Only those that live right. In those days, a man that's a sinner, a man that will not honor God, his life will be accursed. There's not going to be that same blessing upon him. God is going to physically reward righteousness and punish wickedness during this time. Right now, it doesn't work that way. Our reward or punishment is after this life. The wicked can prosper right now. But friend, during that time, they will not. You can write down Zechariah 8, verse 4. That's another reference to that. Not only will human life be prolonged, but also the earth is going to be much more fruitful in these days. And we can read, there's several references to this. Isaiah 35, verse number 1. During that time, the desert is going to blossom like a rose. There'll be no desert places. Your yard that you can't get the grass to grow, it ain't going to be like that in the millennium. It's going to be a time of great blessing. In Joel chapter 3, verse 18, there's another reference to it. After the second coming of Christ, after the valley of the Armageddon, there's going to be an increase of the earth. We can go on and on. Isaiah 55, 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. and it shall be to the Lord for a name. What is that song we sing today around Christmas? Joy to the World. You know, that song really doesn't have as much to do with the first coming of Christ as it does the second coming. What is the words of that song? Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. No more let sins and sorrows grow. Did that happen during the first coming? He said, no more let sins nor sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. What's that talk about? The millennial reign. He comes to make his blessings flow, for as the curse is found. In the third verse, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. All this is included in the millennial reign. I want you to look at something else. Turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 11. Not only is human life going to be affected, the earth is going to be affected, the fruits, it's going to be much more fruitful then. But did you know even during the millennial reign, the animal kingdom will be affected? You say, what does this have to do with my life? It may not have much to do with it right now, but it should give you something to look forward to. You can't act like this don't interest you. Isaiah chapter number 11, look in verse number 6. What does he say? Isaiah chapter number 11, verse number 6. He says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the sucking child, the infant, shall play on the hole of the asp, the snake. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. What's that? That's a viper's den. In other words, whenever a little infant child crawls upon the ground and he slips his hand down into the hole of a viper, his mom and dad are going to go, oh well. They won't run over and pick him up out of it. Some of you parents are like, thank God for that day. I wish that was now because I'm so scared now. But in that day, he'll be able to reach down and grab the snake, pull it out, play with it. There's going to be no violence from the animal kingdom. Right now, the earth is yearning for to be redeemed by Christ. They're under the curse of sin. But in that day, there's not going to be carnivores. The lions will eat straw. They'll be harmless unto mankind. That'll be another curse that is lifted. In that day, another physical change. There will be a whole lot more light than there is now. And we've already read some of that. The evening will be as daytime. There will be a light that shines. You can write down this reference, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. I know this is scattered, but I'm just trying to give you some things that will just try and show us, first of all, how much the Bible talks about this. A lot. But also, what a blessed day this is going to be. Now, if I didn't get to read any further in Revelation, I'd be sad because it don't sound like we're going to be there. But I want you to know that we are. Look in Revelation 20 again. We'll be wrapping it up. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 4. In Revelation 20, verse 1 through 3, Satan is bound. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 through 6, the saints are going to be blessed. He said, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So there is going to be thrones set up, and Christ is going to have those that will judge the world during this time. And we're told that some of them are going to be those that were martyred during the tribulation. But it's not just going to be those. Remember, the armies of heaven are going to come back with Christ. We're with him when he comes again. We're not back up in heaven waiting on the millennial reign to get over with. We are with Christ, and we're going to be set up upon thrones. You say, how do we know these aren't angels? Well, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, tells us that angels will not judge. They'll be subject unto judgment. And the biggest thing we have is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. He says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Now, when are we going to judge the world? When's that going to happen? When does that have to happen? That has to happen in the millennial reign. He said, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? There is coming a day when the saints are going to judge. And I believe that part of the responsibilities we have in the millennium will have to do with how we act now. What we do for Christ now is going to be rewarded in the millennium. There's many other references to the thrones and the rewarding. You remember when Christ told the apostles they would sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There's many references to this, but I want you to know that we're going to be there. Now, we're going to be in our perfect bodies then. We're going to be reigning with Christ. We're not going to be part of the sinful world then. And some people may ask, how is Christ going to come again and reign, but there's still going to be sin? That don't seem right. Well, friend, let me just remind you that Christ came the first time and there was sin then. Christ was still perfect, was he not? Christ is going to reign even during this time. There will be sin, but Christ is going to reign. He said at verse number 5, the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. What does that mean? What he's simply meaning is this. When Christ rose again, he started a resurrection. The rapture, saints are going to be resurrected. And then at the end of the tribulation, all those that died for the witness of Christ, they're going to be resurrected also. When they are resurrected at the end of the tribulation, that is going to complete the first resurrection. From Christ all the way to these saints, all of that makes up the first resurrection. That's what God calls the resurrection of life. So if there's a first resurrection, is there a second? Yes. We just read, the wicked will live not again until the 1,000 years are expired. Why are they going to live again? They're going to be resurrected so that they can stand before God at the great white throne judgment. That's what they call in the Bible the resurrection unto damnation. They will live again only to go into the second death. They've died once. All the wicked are going to be raised again one day. And then they will be sentenced to death again. That's the difference between those that are saved and those that are lost. We are going to be resurrected to never die again. They will be resurrected to die again, the second death. Look in verse 7 through 9. We'll read this. We'll be done tonight. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Verse 9. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. We find, number one, Satan is bound. We find the saints are blessed. And then we find a short-lived battle. At the end of the 1,000 years, it's going to be a wonderful time, but Satan's going to be loosed. He's going to deceive the nations, and they're going to come out again against Christ. Now, it's not going to be much of a battle. He will simply speak, and they will be utterly destroyed, and Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. Let me ask you a question. Why does God do it that way? There's a point that God is trying to prove, and he does it in every different time of history. He proves that man will fail God 10 times out of 10. No matter what, in any circumstance, in any situation, man always fails God. In the Garden of Eden, in innocence, man failed God. In the time of just where man was ruled by their conscience in Noah's time, man failed God. In the time of the law, God gave man a law. Man failed God. We are now in the time of grace. Man is still failing God. In the tribulation, man is going to fail God. And in the millennial reign, even when Satan is bound, when Christ is physically there, they are still going to fail God. And as soon as Satan is loosed, man will be happy to follow him. Would they not know after 1,000 years of Christ's wonderful, blessed, peaceful reign, why would they go for Satan? Because man always fails God in our sin. God is proving once and for all in the millennial reign that, and you know what people say today, if I could only see God, I would believe on him. But I can't see him. If you could see him, you still wouldn't believe on him if you won't believe now. because men will see in them and they still will not believe. After that, God is going to judge. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and he's going to set up his everlasting kingdom. No sin will enter there. And we're going to learn about that more prayerfully next week. But I pray you think about the significance of the millennial reign. And if nothing else, think about your part in it. Don't you want to know what you'll do? I can tell you this, what you're going to do depends on what you're doing right now. He who's faithful in a little will be given much. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Sister Terry's making her way forward to play a song of invitation. I know maybe this Wednesday nights don't always seem like a time to really give an invitation, but I always want to give you a chance. Because, friend, we always need some straightening up in our life, some reminding. And I want you to know these altars are open tonight. Maybe you just need to pray and say, God, help me to be about your business, to be about your kingdom. I want to be faithful in what you've given me now so you can reward me in the millennial reign. So I can reign then, be given responsibility then. Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege to read your word. Lord, we ask now that you'd bless it. Lord, I pray that you'd help our church. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to grow. Lord, help us to see an urgency, a need to tell souls about you now. Lord, help us to live faithfully here. Lord, to know that you're watching. Lord, you're keeping a record of what we do for you. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.